1 John, and also to Romans chapter 8. I tell you that, Dennis, he was a-stealing my message this morning. What did you do, Dennis? Just slip in the house and looked at my notes, did you? Or what did you do? I'll tell you what, boy, wasn't that good? I tell you, we've had some great Sunday school lessons. I'd encourage you to get the tapes of those and listen to them, and it'll help you. Now, I'll tell you this morning, I need help. I need a lot of divine help to preach. I'm going to be preaching. You know, I was told when I first started preaching, oh, you know, if you ain't experienced it, you shouldn't preach on it. Well, if you did that, you'd never preach on much anything. Somebody says, well, you've not lost a loved one, so you shouldn't preach about it. Well, it's not that. If it's in the Bible, you preach it anyway. No matter, in fact, if it is, you say, Reggie, you don't practice what you preach. I still got to preach it. I mean, you still got to preach it. And so, you know, just get in and have a good time this morning. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm preaching in water way above my head. I'm preaching in water way above my head this morning. And I just admit that, and I've told God 100 times, seemed like, Lord, if you don't preach through me, they won't get anything out of this. But I'm excited about it. I got something out of it, and I hope that you will too. So let's all get settled down and get ready to go. Let's get our seats and get in here and get ready. And I want you to pray for me while I'm preaching this morning. We've been preaching through the book of 1 John, and we're beginning right now this morning. We're absolutely at chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, in the middle of the week, I was in a rush to get into this chapter because a big issue with me is the issue of loving the brethren. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple, that you have love one for another. Big issue in the church across the whole country, around the world, is loving one another. And so I was really anxious, and I've got a barn burner on loving each other. And I thought I was going to preach that. Had it already Wednesday, and the Lord changed me. And boy, it's been a blessing. I'm really glad that He did. God don't open our eyes. We don't see very much. I was anxious to get over to chapter 3 and verse 14 and chapter 4, an old passage of Scripture where He just hammers and hammers and hammers about loving each other as Christian people. Loving the brethren. He just bears into that heart. So I was kind of in this, going to just kind of jump over this a little bit, move on. And as I kept reading it, Brother Phil, the Holy Ghost of God said, Reggie, you'll never get the issue of loving your brethren till you've got the issue of me loving you. You'll never understand or be able to preach or live yourself about loving the lost until you understand how I love you. Reg, you'll never understand how to love the brethren until you understand how I love you. And I want to say something to you this morning. We hear it, we see it on this, that, and the other, but the truth about it is, God does love us. We don't have a harsh, cruel, mean God like the Muslims have. We've got a God whose heart is love, who actually, the Bible says, God is love. And I'll be honest with you, I can preach on sin with the best of them. I'm acquainted with it. I understand it. I've seen its effects. I can preach on things that the brethren do wrong. But I'll tell you what, I've always had a hard time with Brother Terry Coates, is preaching on the love of God. And I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I want you to read with me, and I want to show you what God spoke to my heart about. And I hope God will help us preach this. Because let me say this to you. When you're at the darkest day of your life, when you're at the lowest point of your soul, it's not me preaching on sin that'll hold you up. It is knowing that God loves you. And understanding the manner of love that He loves you with. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Lord, just one more time, Father, I pray. Help me to preach this. It's sad, Lord. that I don't know any more about the love of God than I know. The truth about it is we can't preach very much about or very well about that which we do not comprehend. And Lord, the truth about it is your love is uncomprehendable. And yet, Lord, you revealed it in your word, revealed it in your son, you revealed it in your spirit. You've revealed it, Lord, through your saints. And God, today I pray, help me to feed the flock of God. That's the one thing, Lord, you've commanded me to do, you've taught me to do, you've told me in your word, feed the flock of God. Lord, these people need to hear from heaven. They don't need to hear my opinions, my thoughts, my little quirks. They don't need to hear nothing but from you. And so I'm asking God today, please feed your sheep today through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, today I pray if there's those in this building that are lost or who listen to this CD down the road somewhere, Lord, I pray, O Holy Ghost of the living God, shed abroad the love of God in their hearts. Make them to know that it's not a glib blank statement. That, Lord, if we, like the song said, if the ocean were with ink filled and every pen of every person a scribe, we would never be able to describe the love of God. Lord, it seems like as we get older and we look back, that we're able to see how your love was all over us, with us. Lord, when we didn't care, when we were apathetic about the things of God, literally, Lord, when we hated you, when we were at enmity with you, you were loving us. You loved us, Lord, before we were born. Oh, God, help us to know you'll love us for eternity. And, Lord, may the divine truth of that love sustain these people in every day of their life. Oh, help us today, God, we pray. And Lord, I want to thank you for loving me all these years. In Jesus' name, amen. That song says, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. If you'll look in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I was reading my Bible, as I said, I wanted to jump on over into some other subjects of Scripture, and the Holy Ghost kept bringing me back. And I want you to do this. I want you to look at your Bible right now. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to listen to me. He kept bringing me back, saying, behold, Reggie, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, Reggie, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, Reggie, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. Man, I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of the living God wouldn't let me loose from that statement. I've marked it, I've looked at it, I've read it, but I'm telling you something, the Holy Ghost arrested my spirit, Reggie. I want you to stop. I want you to slow down. I want you to do what it says there, to behold the manner of the love of the Father. And I'll be honest with you, Phil, I don't think I've ever done that in my life. I knew I was a lost sinner. I knew he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. But I'll be honest with you, my focus is not often on the love that God has to me and the love that God has to his people. And I'm just begging in my spirit while I preach, Brother Ralph, that somehow or another the Lord would let you know that he loves you this morning. Boy, I tell you what, I walked out the back door to my truck and I said, God, I don't know how to tell these people how much you love them. God, if you don't do it in their hearts and you don't do it in their spirits, they'll not get nothing out of this message. But Lord, if you'll come and the Holy Ghost of God will shed abroad the love of God in their hearts, Lord, they'll get something out of it. Behold, that word behold, that means you're going to have to take some time. You're going to have to get focused. You're going to have to view it. You're going to have to slow down. You're going to have to start looking at that rather than looking at some of the things you're looking at. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It means to stop. It means just don't rush on. It means just don't read on. It means stop and behold the manner of love in which the Father has for you. If there's anything we need to know, if there's anything we need to embrace, if there's anything that we need to rest in, if there's anything we need to rejoice in, if there's anything that we need to lay hold of with our soul, it is the manner of the love of the Father toward us as His children. There, this is a high mountain, but with God's good grace, we're going to head up the slopes and behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon them, that we should be called the sons of God. I want to take off this morning by saying, for taking your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, the Bible tells us, first of all, that His love is a foreknowing love. His love is a foreknowing love. That means that God loved you before you even knew yourself. God loved you before you were ever in existence. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, for whom He did foreknow. God foreknew you and God loved you when He foreknew you. In the book of Psalms 139, the Bible teaches that while you weren't even in existence as far as physically, God loved you from eternity past. God never been a time that God didn't love you. You were loved before you were formed in the womb of your mother. You were loved before you were conceived in the womb of your mother. You were in the mind of God before you were ever placed upon this earth. I want you to grab hold of, that's why I said, behold the manner of love. Do not think that you're an accident. Don't think that you're just one out of 6 billion. You are an individual person that God has supremely loved before you were ever on the face of this earth. He said, before you ever flew, before you ever formed in the womb of your mother, God knew you and God loved you. I want you to turn there real quick. I don't want to run past that. Psalms 139, I want you to look at it. The Bible said in 139, verse number 13, it says, Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous all Thy works, and Thy my soul knoweth right well. What's this? My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, when in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. The Bible said in verse number 17, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. God loved you before you ever knew yourself. It is a foreknowing love. Secondly, it's a predestinating love. Amen? Did you know the Bible said in Romans 8, 20 and 9, there it said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. I hope that blows your theology out of the creek. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible teaches predestination. The Bible teaches election. And the Bible teaches free will. And I understand that, but any old train's got two tracks on it. Amen. I want to tell you something. I don't understand the mysteries of Almighty God, but I'm going to tell you this. He's predestined you with His love. I want to tell you something. If He didn't love you with a predestined love, you wouldn't control the love. You wouldn't control your destiny. I like the word destiny. I'm telling you, listen, it was determined in the mind of the eternal Almighty God in the councils of eternity that we would be His sons. And He's loved us with that kind of manner of love. He also loved you in that text in verse number 30 with a calling love. With a calling love. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 9, it said when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid. And the Bible said in verse number 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and He said, where art thou? I'm telling you something, that God's love is a calling love. How many of you remember this morning when God called you to Himself? The Holy Ghost of God spoke in the deep recesses of your mind. You didn't want your wife to know. You didn't want your daughter to know. You didn't want your husband to know. But Almighty God was calling you with His love. Amen. His love is a calling love. The old song says, His voice to me is calling. His love is a justifying love. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, this says, who He predestined and who He called, them He also justified. God's love is not just a talk, it's justifying love. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He has a justifying love. He cleared you in the court of God. He made you innocent. He paid your bill. He done it all, and He made you just and acceptable in the sight of Almighty God. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. From that wall to that wall and from this wall to that wall, this church is full of fornicators, adulterers, liars, cheats, prideful people. I want to tell you something. We think we're something. We're nothing. The funny thing to me about it is that God blesses us with something and we get proud of it. And then we ain't worth a dime or spit to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell you something, but you know what? It's not my performance. It's the justness of Almighty God. God is a just God, and God made us just, Brother Jim. Aren't you glad this morning? Let me tell you, who is he that condemneth? Amen. It is God that justifieth. Let me say, Father, this morning, it's a glorifying love. It said, whom he called and whom he justified, then he also glorified. You said, Reggie, you don't look very glorified to me. Well, you don't either. But we're glorified. Amen. Hey, Brother Messick, you ain't going to need that doctor when you get to heaven. You're going to have a glorified body. His love is a glorifying love. The Bible teaches us that he will take this old vile, sin-cursed body, and it's sounding more attractive to me all the time. He's going to take that old cursed body and transform it and resurrect it into a new glorified body, fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know what I like about that verse? It speaks of it in the present tense, that it is an absolute statement of faith of God, the hope and confidence that one day we will have a glorified body and we'll live in it forever, and we are to behold the manner of the love of God. God's loved us so much, he ain't going to leave it. It's no stinking thing. Amen. If you're making deodorant for a living, you're going to go broke in heaven. They don't need it. Amen. It's a glorifying love. You say, oh, well, it means nothing to me. Well, if you ever knew where you ought to be in hell and knew where God will take you to heaven, you'd like that idea about being glorified. And by the way, you talk to these old folks in here whose every joint's a hurting and their body's falling apart. The glorification's getting to sound awful good to them. Amen. I tell you, they won't listen to me. He's a glorifying love. But in Romans 8:31, if you look in that passage of Scripture, it's a protective love. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I'll tell you something. I want all the ameners to be quiet for a minute, and I want those of you who never say amen to say amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? Thank you. I knew you could do it. Amen. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Amen. I'll tell you something. You came to church this morning. You can get something out if you want to. Hey, sister, where's that plate at over there? Where's it at? Look at here what somebody brought to church. She said, I brought my plate. Did you all get that? She come hungry. She come to be fed. Brother Frankie called me this morning and said, Reg, I'm a needing fed. I said, God's got something for you, Brother Frankie. I'll tell you something. He wants you to know that he loves you. How many of you have sinned this week? Raise your hand. I'm telling you, God still loves you. Amen. He still loves you. Should you not sin? No, you ought not sin. You ought to repent of it. Ask God to forgive you and confess it. But he still loves you. Amen. It's a protective love. I'm glad to know that the devil can't do anything mean to like that. Just like Dennis said, that God does not permit. God is protecting you in his love. In Romans 8:32, it's an unsparing love. The Bible teaches us, he that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? It's an unsparing love. God, did you know something? God didn't spare the angels, but cast them down. God didn't spare Sodom, but burned it down. God didn't spare his own son. But you know who he did spare? He spared me and you. That's an unsparing love. He's a giving love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In that verse you read, it said, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I'll tell you what, I walked out by a pine tree this morning. God gave it to me to look at. I walked up to a maple tree. All kinds of colors. God gave it to me to look at. I looked down at the grass. It was green. God gave me it to look at and to walk on. A lot better than concrete. Amen. Amen. God gave me the sun. I'll tell you what I told Brother Frankie this morning. Did you know what? I was reading this week and studying that the universe, actually, that if you want precision, you do it by the stars. Isn't it amazing that God's protective love, that the sun came up this morning. How many noticed that? Right on time. Did you know that God is taking care of the universe? That everything, that the scientists, quote, they do everything they do off of their clocks, off God's clock, but they don't believe him a lot of them. But God is so faithful. Hey, if God's keeping this old earth going just like it should for all these 6,000 years, don't you think he can spend your life right on toward eternity and take care of you? It's God's love. It's his giving love. It's his giving love. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's an advocating love. In Romans 8:33, the Bible said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The Bible said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteousness. It's an advocating love. You got somebody looking out for you at the throne this morning. The devil comes up there and charges you with sin, and probably true. But you know what? We have Jesus Christ the righteous. I want to tell you something. He's interceding for us, and he's pleading for us with his own blood. And if your sins is paid in his blood, it cannot be charged to you. And that's why the Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's a advocating love. Romans 8:34 tells us it's an interceding love. He's seated at the right hand. Look at the last part of verse 34. He is seated at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Woo! I'm glad I've got a great high priest who is set at the right hand of the Father this morning, and he ever lives to make intercession for me. The devil said, look at the sorry low-down preacher. Look at that sorry scumhead. Look at what's going through his mind. Look at the attitude that he's had. Look at the words that he said. Look at the failures he's committed. Look at the things he doesn't do that he ought to do. And my Savior's up there interceding for me, because my righteousness, it was never about my righteousness to start with. It was his righteousness from the start, and it's still his righteousness while I'm preaching. Why, the devil's up there probably saying, he ain't doing no good down there, Lord. Look at him stumble and bumble and spit and froth while he's trying to preach. You ought to get rid of him. But Jesus is still interceding for me. Amen. I'm just saying, I'm glad that the manner of the love is an interceding. You ought to behold the love, the manner of love. But it's more than that. It's a delivering love. In Romans 8:32, the Bible said, he said, he that spared not his own son, but what? Delivered him up for us all. The Bible teaches us that he's delivered us from our sins. He's delivered us from the wrath of God. He's delivered us from death. He's delivered us from hell. He's delivered us from the lake of fire. He's delivered us from the condemnation of sin. Brother, he is a delivering God who loves us with a delivering love. He just don't talk about it. He does it. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, listen. I walked all around this morning. I took me a big old long walk. I said, God, I want you to pour out and help me to behold the manner of the love in which God has loved me. But let me tell you another kind of love it is. It's an unseparating love. Well, look down there. Well, the old black preacher said, look down in where's that? Wong, wong, wong. Where are you at back there? Said, what are you doing in the back seat back there? Get up sometimes here and play the piano. You know, if you don't use them gifts, God will take them away from you. I'm just being honorary to you. Verse number 35, look at it. Everybody looking at it, say amen. Amen. Who shall what? Separate us from the love of God. Don Zinn, can you believe it? You cannot be separated. How many thinks that would be next to an impossibility? I mean, if you was God and Don, you had to deal with Don Zinn. But thank God, nothing is impossible with God, Don. And God's love is never going to be separated from you, Don. Hey, Brother Don, I love you, and you know I love you. God, you went through some rough times in your life. I want to tell you what, that man went through hell and high water. But I want to tell you, God never did quit loving you, did he, Don? How many of you have been through rough times out there? You've been through things you didn't dream you'd go through. God has never quit loving you. I want to tell you, how many have sinned since you got saved? Has God quit loving you? No, sir. You need to lay hold of this. You know why you need to lay hold of this? Because the devil will constantly walk up to you and tell you that God's love can be separated from you. But it can't be. You look down through there. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Why, if some of you didn't have clothes to wear, you'd think God had forsaken. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. If you were killed for Christ, you still can't be separated from his love. We're counted as sheep of the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and you ought to get that way too. I am persuaded, Brother Ralph. I've done been persuaded. I've done been set in concrete. I mean, it's done that. It's got rebarb in it. I'm not going to be separated from the love of God. Now, you know what that does? Somebody said, well, if I believe that, I'll just go out and live any way I want to. Oh, no, you ain't got it yet. You ain't got it yet. Hey, behold the manner of the love of the Father that he bestowed upon you through Jesus Christ, that you would be called the Son of God. It'll make you want to serve him, love him, obey him, do what he wants you to do. That's why I'll tell you, if I had my way about it, I'd preach on Behold the Man of the Love, Father, for the next 6 months. Frank, you go on to Texas because you ain't going to need to hear it. I'm going to be preaching on the love of God for the next 6 months. If I could ever get this church, if I could ever get this church, if I could ever get me to behold the manner of the love of the Father that He has toward us, it would change us. We wouldn't need some 10-cent evangelist come and give us a revival. It happened on its own. And I'm telling you something. I was walking around my yard and God said, Reggie, I want to tell you something. You can beat your head against the concrete all you want to about loving the brethren, but until you understand how God loves you, you ain't going to understand about loving the brethren. And Reggie, you can think you care about the lost all you want to, but until you understand how God loved you before you were saved, you're never going to understand how to love the lost. It's an unseparating love. Look what he said there. Verse 30. I'm persuaded neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come. What you worried about? What you worried about? Something to come. Old boy said, I'm worried about things that might happen. They ain't happen, but they might happen, and I'm worried about it. You're wasting your time. I met a woman here recently. I'll tell you what, I never heard such a worry wart in my life. I let her and her husband stand out in the yard. I was visiting with them, and she was just like this the whole time. And she just talked about worrying about this and worrying about that. Hey, she even worried that she hadn't took care of her mother like she ought to. I said, ma'am, your mother's gone. And she told me all what she did for her, how she went up there every day and took care of her and fed her and did everything she could. And she said, I just worry myself to death that I didn't do enough for mom. And he said, about drive me crazy, her worrying. I looked at her and I said, can I ask you something, ma'am? How much good has it done you? Well, she said, I don't think it's done me very much. I said, no, it's about to kill you and about to run off your husband. Hey, listen, folks, he ain't going to separate his love from you. You say, Reggie, you don't know. I had a bad financial deal and I went broke and I owe the bank and I can't pay my bill. I don't care. His love is not separated from you. I tell you, if God's love was dependent upon my stupidity, I wouldn't be within 1,000,000 miles of God's love. If God's love was dependent upon my obedience, I wouldn't be within 1,000,000 miles of God's love. Oh, listen, this morning, it's a delivered love. It's an unseparating love. But it's an unfathomable love. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, I'm telling you something. Listen, people will quit you. People will separate from you. People will betray you. People will fail you. But the Bible said He will never leave us, nor He'll never forsake us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. I'm telling you something. You may be sitting in church this morning, and I don't know. And I pray, God, it'll never happen. But your spouse, your setting by may be gone 5 years from now. It happens. By the way, you'll be in the wrong if it happens. You that left. You that went to that lawyer. You that instigated that stupid thing. But I'm telling you this much, God will never leave you. He'll never leave you. It's an unfathomable love. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 18. The Bible said that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Filled with all the fullness of God. God's love is unfathomable. I want to tell you something. I understand now that they found a place in the ocean that's 35,000 and some feet deep. It's called the Marinus Channel. But there ain't never been nobody there. And I ain't going. Number one, because that's where my sins is buried at. And I don't want to fish them out of there. Amen. But listen to me, folks, listen. No more than we can't even fathom. You know, man thinks he's been to the moon. That's fine. But how far is it on out in their galaxies? We haven't even made it to the bottom of the ocean yet. We ain't got it down too much. But oh, let me tell you something. You look at the galaxies. I heard this past month that they found about 400 and some million new galaxies. New galaxies? I live in Milky Way. That's my address. Hey, can I tell you something? The love of God is unfathomable. You can't wrap your arms around it. You can't understand it. It's unsearchable in Ephesians 3:8. Paul said that he preached among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's a conquering love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, it says we're more than conquerors through Him. You know what God did? He conquered my rebellion. He conquered my drinking. He conquers my smoking. He conquered my chewing. He conquered my cussing. He conquered my adultery. He conquered my fornication. He conquered my lust. He's a conqueror. He has a conquering love. You say, I can't quit. What do I need to quit? Hey, if you'd get enough love of God in you and comprehend the manner of the love of God, you'd understand that the power of His love. Hey, listen to me this morning. You know why I can live with that woman over there? You know why she's special? Because I love her. Anybody you love becomes special to you. Did you know it's not hard when you love people to do what you ought to do? Love makes it real easy. It's a conquering love. Well, we got to go on. It's a great love in Ephesians 2:4. How His great love with wherewith He loved us. It's a righteous love. Now listen to me. It's a righteous love. God's love is not, oh, I love my children, so when they do all these wrong things, I don't care because I love them. That's not it. It's a righteous love. It's not that God is holy, but at the same time He's hating our sin, He is loving us. He might be both the just and the justifier. He never turns His holy eye away or hides Himself from our sin. But He has paid for our sins in the sufferings and the blood and the sacrifice of His Son. And if you want to behold the manner of the love of God, you need to look straight to the cross of Calvary and see the dying Son of God shedding His blood and suffering for your sin and taking the punishment. And by the way, there ain't no man on the face of the earth nor ever did know what went on during the darkness whenever the sun was hid, and in the darkness of that time when God placed in the body of His own Son the sins of the world. God hid the world from seeing it. Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's a righteous love. But I thank God it's a regenerating love. He'll make us new, amen. He'll put a new heart in us. The love of God will put a new heart in. He'll create a new man on the inside. It's a transforming love. He'll translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's a redeeming love. He bought us. The Bible said He paid our debt in full. He paid it all. He redeemed us with the precious blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you again, behold the manner of what manner of love the Father hath loved us. It's a reconciling love. You were in an enmity with God. When Jesus died, God loved you, gave His Son to die for you. God bring you back to Himself. It's a reconciling love where you can walk with God and talk with God and live with God and be reconciled to your Creator. It's a restoring love. Let me tell you something. David said, I might be wrong. I ain't checked it out. I wouldn't know how to check it out if I wanted to check it out. But I believe Psalms chapter 23 ought to quit being read at funerals and ought to be preached at church. My grandma was 90. How old was grandma when she passed away, Daddy? 93? 97. And my grandma could quote you the 23rd Psalm. She didn't think it was something for funerals. He restoreth my soul! His love will restore you. How many of you have ever got away from God? Now, how many of you are away from God right now? Well, we're wonderful this morning. We ain't got anybody in here. Let me tell you something. You've been in a ditch and you know you have. You've been in a sewer lagoon and you know you have. You've been where you knew you shouldn't have been. You've been sitting in this church and your heart and spirit and mind was not where it ought to have been. And God still restored you. He has a restoring love. He has a fatherly love. You know, I got this is going to sound bad. I've been preaching for almost 31 years and didn't catch this till last night. It's a fatherly love. In Luke chapter 15, remember the prodigal son? And the prodigal son, the Bible says, watch this. In verse number 20 it says, and he, the son, arose and came to his father. Ooh, this good. Bible says, when that son was a great way off, his father saw him. That tells me the father was looking for him. And then I picked that up. And I didn't catch this. His father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran. Now, brother, Danny, friend, I don't know why I never picked up that ran before. That means that God, I believe that old daddy got up every morning, went out there with his milk bucket, tore the milk in them cows. But while he's walking across the driveway, he'd look down yonder. And I'll tell you something about that father. He could see that son a long way off. He knew who he was from a distance. Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Aren't you glad God saw you a long way off? Amen. Oh, you got way off from God. God could see you way off there. But I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad that father didn't sit up and say, all right, come on, get up here. Yeah. Oh, no. Let me tell you how the father loves you. behold what manner of love the Father hath. He ran to him. You know what some of your trouble is? You've been saved too long. I'd say this row, this row, this row, this row, this row. I'd say this row, this row, this row, this row. I'd say behind the pulpit, we all been saved too long. Because some of you are more hooked up about little old nets and gnats flying around your head than you are the love of God. You're more concerned about the color of the carpet on this floor than the love of God. You know, you can get saved where, you know, you just, Brother Jim, do you need, you know, you forgot the manner of love. You know what? You forgot the pit which God dug you out of. You thought the Father owed it to you to run down to your trash can and pick you up. He ran down there to you. He's got restoring love. Let me tell you something. We better behold the love of the Father, because let me tell you what happened to me, Phil. The Father ran to meet me, brother. I'm going to tell you something. I've sinned. I've messed up. I wouldn't want to stay here and tell you this morning. You know what? The older I get, the more I realize how wicked a sinner I am. Somebody said, you got sanctified, holy lit. No, I sure ain't there. I need a Father who restores me. I need a Father that restores me. He's got saving love. He'll save you through His love. It's sacrificial love. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while you were vomiting your puke, while you were laying in your fornicated bed, while you were watching your pornography, while you were talking about your brother around the table, God's loving you right then. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen. Well, I tell you, He hadn't loved you while He's yet a sinner. Don't sell up on me this morning. I still love you. I hope you still love me. I'm your pastor, amen. You're going to have a hard time getting rid of me. I love y'all too much. Amen. You think, well, I hope old Reggie dies and I can take his place in the pulpit. You just go on and get you another church somewhere. I'm going to be here for a while. By the way, if you think that, how stupid are you? That's dumber than a rock. Thank you, Brother Ralph. I'll tell you what it is. It's a sanctifying love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a separating love. When the love of God comes in you, you'll start separating from things that... You see, just before that, He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. When the love of God, you behold the manner of the love that He has toward you, you'll understand that it'll just make you want to leave the world and get to the Father. Hey, can I tell you something? It's a satisfying love. It's a forgiving love. Anybody satisfied with God's love? Anybody not satisfied with God's love this morning? It's satisfying love. It's a forgiving love. It's a love that will forgive you of your sin. How many understand here this morning, if God saved you, He forgave you? It's a merciful love. It's a gracious love. It's a cleansing love. It's an eternal love. Never will be a time when God don't love you. I want you, if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to listen to me. You listen to me? You will go to hell unsaved, but you will never go to hell unloved. The people that are in hell this morning are loved by God. You know why? Because they say loved Him with an everlasting love. You better get a hold of that. God loves you. It's an eternal love. You know what His love is? Brother Messick, this is good. It's a sustaining love. His love has sustained me now for 30-some years. Some of you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the love of God sustaining you. Can I tell you something else? Some of you won't be here if you don't let the love of God sustain you. It's a continuous love. It never quits. The Bible said love never fails. It's a seeking love. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. It's an initiating love. The Bible said we love Him because He first loved us. You didn't start this thing. Did you know the person that loves is the person who initiates the healing? Sister Pitts, would you mind if I use you and Ralph for an example this morning? Let's just imagine, I know this has never happened, that you and Ralph got odds of D toward each other. Never happened. Thank you. I appreciate that. Shouldn't lie in church either. And I'm just teasing. But let's say that Ralph came home and he you'd fixed big supper all afternoon, and you were so excited. And Ralph came home, ate three bites of it, said it ain't fit for a hog to eat, threw it in the trash can, walked out, took his gun, and the dog went hunting. Bad business, right? Bad business. She went, mm-hmm. Now, they got it off. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What's it going to take to get it fixed? It's going to take somebody that understands. Listen to me. This will get practical now to you. It's going to take somebody that beholds the manner of the love of the Father. Did you understand why I'm saying we just will quit wasting our time trying to figure out about how to love everybody and love the lost until we understand the manner of the love toward us? Because God has initiating love. That means you didn't come to Him, He came to you. We love Him because He first loved us. And let me tell you, when you got the manner of love, behold Him. I'm asking, how many understands that what you behold is what you become like? Have you ever heard a statement? How many in here thinks that Frankie and Mary just kind of look like they ought to go together? Would anybody say that besides me? I'm honest with you. They just kind of look like they ought to go together. You're not brothers and sisters, are you? Okay. Do you know why they look like each other? Because they've been beholding each other for how many years?
52
years. My mom and daddy sitting right here. You know, it just looks like they. I cannot imagine them not being together. They just look like they go together. You know why they look like? They have been beholding each other for how many years? You forgot, haven't you, Daddy? 68, he thinks. All right? If you behold something for 68 years, you're going to understand it. And here's the deal. With Ralph and Christy over there, did you know who's going to say, honey, let's get this thing fixed? It's going to be the person who has beheld the manner of the love that the Father has bestowed upon them. And if you really want to know anything about the love of God is an initiating love. The love of God doesn't bull up and say, bless God, I ain't moving. The love of God doesn't roll over to the wall and say, don't touch me. That always initiates a giggle in the church. How many has had experience with the wall movement? Do you know what we need to do? Now, do you say, how do you initiate it? Well, you don't initiate it like this. Ralph, don't come down the house and say, you just won't get over it. We're married for better or for worse. Remember that? And it's worse right now. No. And she said, this fixing to get sicker. Listen, you know what needs to happen? I guarantee if that man, if he is saved at all, I mean, I don't care if he's as childish as he can be in his spiritual walk. The Holy Ghost of God, he ain't going to enjoy his hunt. Are you listening to me? The Holy Ghost of God said, Ralph, I don't care if that wasn't any good. You should ate it and act like you liked it. That's your wife. And that ain't no way for a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And if he wants to behold the manner of the love which the Father hath toward him, he needs to do what God does, and that's initiate. He needs to have the love of God in his heart to initiate the healing. He needs to come back to house and say, Sister Chris. No, he didn't say, I won't say it. He needs to say, Chris, get your bags packed, taking you on a cruise. Amen. That'll heal it. Amen. That's called initiate. Hey, did not God say that to you? But let me show you one bigger. Chris, how am I wanting to call you Christy for? Chris, let's say that he bulls up and said, God, I'll tell you what, I've been doing this for 38 years. I'm tired of eating that slop. I've been to McDonald's today. I had real food. And so, but let me, hey, wait a minute. We can understand that he offended her. But what about if he don't come back to that? What if he walks in the house, walks straight past her, goes in there, brushes his teeth, you know, hits the bed, rolls over. Let me tell you where the real beholding of God's love comes. When you're the one that's been offended, and she gets up the next morning and says, honey, what would you like me to fix you for breakfast? maybe the next day, 2 days. Okay. But listen, folks, all I'm wanting us to do today, and God help us while we're in this together. It ain't me preaching. I want God to do something. It's us initiating. If we'll behold the manner, it is an initiating love that moved on us. Brother Jim, let me tell you something. I've said this before, but it's the truth. While I was laying on the ground in my own drunken vomit, God was initiating His love toward me. He came to where I was. I'm telling you something. I tell you what, I had a fresh wave of glory swept over my soul this morning just because I got just a little bit of glimpse of the manner of His love. It's a drawing love. He'll draw us with the cords of His love, the Bible said. It's a lifting love. Psalms 40, verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a solid rock, established my goings. Watch this. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praised our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'd like to preach on that, but there's an old song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Oh, He loves you. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing, when Reggie's preaching couldn't help me. When mom and daddy chewing on me couldn't help me. Love will lift you. It's a lifting love. It's going to lift us all the way to glory someday. Let me get this thing out of here. Let's go home and eat. It's a keeping love. He'll keep us. He will keep me till the river flows its waters at my feet. And then He'll bear me safely over to my loved ones there I'll meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Do you hear what that song? He will keep me till the river. He will keep kept by the power of God. And may I say, by the love of God. Hey, it's a chastening love. He chasteneth every son whom He receiveth. He'll pull out the switch and take you to the woodshed and around you go. How many's ever been to the woodshed? Raise your hand. All right, them that you ain't been there yet, you have an exciting adventure awaiting you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You see, if I'd have known this, I wouldn't have got saved. That's why God didn't tell you. Amen. Tell you one thing, listen to me. If I'd known what I was going to get hit with, and I spent him to preach, I'd have ran out the back of the church instead of running up to the altar. I promise you that. I'm glad He didn't tell me. I don't need to know what about tomorrow, but I just need to know who loves me tomorrow. It's a chastening love. It's a purifying love. I'm telling you something. Listen, His love working in you will purify you. You fall in love, it'll make you fall in love with it. You understand His love toward you, it'll make you love Him, and it'll cause purification to occur in your life. It's a gentle love. I'm glad God's gentle. Amen. I'm glad God's gentle. I'm glad it's a kind love. It's a long-suffering love. God's put up with me for all these years. And the first thing God ever says about love in the Bible is love suffereth long and is kind. Let me tell you something. If we're not gentle and we're not kind and we don't suffer long with people, we don't even ought to not pretend to say we love them. But it is a suffering love. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. You listen to this morning. It's a substitutionary love. He died in our place, in your place, for your sins. Behold, what manner of love. It is a dying love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He died for you. Let me tell you something. Anybody die for you? They just love you. But I want to tell you this, it's a living love. His love lives in our hearts. Some of you's tired. Some of you's weary. Let me tell you what gets me about being a pastor. I can't hardly stand to see people hurt. Some of you's got bills. I wished they were paid. I hurt for you. Some of you's got sicknesses. I wished I could heal. I can't heal them. Some of you's got problems I wished I could fix for you. I can't fix them. But I want to tell you, I can point you to the one who loves you with a manner of love that's beyond your comprehension, that'll take you through all that stuff that you're going through and bring you out the other side and deepen your understanding and your comprehension of Him and who He is. Oh, stay in the ship! Stay in the ship. It's an unconditional love. God says, whosoever will, let him come. God don't have conditions on His love. And I thank the Lord that it's an unchanging love. It hasn't changed. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Behold, what manner of love. Let's climb up a little bit higher on the mountain, and then we'll go home. I want to climb a little up on a big old rock up here, Brother Jeremy, because I want to look down to a ditch that I can't see from where I'm at. But if I get high enough in the love of God, let me tell you about yourself. You know what some of you people, listen, I don't want my kids to get in sin. I did the best I could to raise my kids. Don't sin, don't get into it, stay away from it, stay away from it, stay away from it. But let me tell you what some of you kids' problem is in this church house. And I say kids because you're not kids now. But you grew up in this church. And God in His mercy kept you from sin. And you didn't get in a ditch too bad. And, oh, you're a pretty good person. That's your problem. Let me tell you why. Did you know who it was that was knelt down at the feet of Jesus Christ and had broke the box and who was drying the feet of Jesus and washing the feet of Jesus with the hairs of her head? Does anybody know who she was? Who was she? She's a former prostitute. You know what Jesus said? Whom's forgiven much, loveth much. And the capacity for some of you people in this church to love God is so shallow because you don't feel like you've ever been forgiven much. You don't feel like you've done nothing. You were a good little boy. You were a good little girl. And I praise God you are. But I'm going to tell you something. You big enough sinner to bust hell wide open. And that's a big one. And if you had never lied once in your life, if you've never let liquor taste your mouth, if you've never had tobacco in your teeth, if you've never took a joint, if you've never committed fornication, you're still a sinner! Amen. And if you don't comprehend the manner of love that God had to you, and you think that you deserve His love, you'll never go past that tall spiritually. You'll be bound up. You'll be nothing but a bound up Pharisee the rest of your life. I want you to behold the manner of love. He loved you when you could care less. He loved you when you hated Him. He loved you when you rejected Him. He loved you when you ran from Him. He loved you when you were lost. He loved you when you were dirty. He loved you when you were full of sin. He loved you while you were a hypocrite. He loves you when you're down. He loves you when you're up. He loves you when you're young. He loves you when you're old, thank goodness. He loves you when you're well. He loves you when you're sick. He loves you when you're happy, and He loves you when you're sad. He loves you when you were lost, and He still loves you since He saved you. He loves you when you're hot, cold, or lukewarm. He still loves you. He loves you when you're obedient. He loves you when you're disobedient. And He loves you when you're strong, and He loves you when you're weak. He loves you when you have evil thoughts. He loves you when you speak evil. He loves you when you're full of pride and selfishness. He loves you when you think you're spiritual, but you're just a Pharisee. He loves you when you lied. He loved you when you deceived. He loved you when you hooked. He's loved you when you crooked. He's loved you when you're drunk. He loved you when you're drugged. He's loved you when you fornicated. He's loved you when you committed adultery. He's loved you while you're yet a sinner. And He's loved you, listen to me, when you were unrepentant and running from God. He has always loved you. He loves you now. And He will forever love you. But that does not mean you're going to heaven. Let's stand together. Not one head bowed, not one eye closed. I want you to pray for your preacher that I'll behold the manner of love that the Father loved me. How many think this mic could help us here at this church? Does it help us? I do not think Christianity is complicated. My spirit is not complicated. We need to behold the manner of the love which God has loved us. And then, folks, listen. If you come back tonight, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I may preach what I was planning on. Now, listen. I want to preach a message and do a teaching on loving the brethren.